I want to speak this morning on the subject, when he bruises, he uses. When he bruises, he uses. Our Heavenly Father, I want to be a blessing. That's just about all I think is left in life, is to help others, to be a blessing to people. And I pray this morning you'd help me to be a blessing to these people. But there's no way I can do it by myself. I have to yield to you, and your Spirit must work through me, and so that I do. And you know I've done it already this morning, and I do it again now. And pray that for these few moments that you would work through these lips of clay, and this mind that's often too dull, and this heart that's often too cold, and this body that's often too weak. I pray you'd strengthen and warm and enlighten and bless me to the hearts of the people today. Now quieten us before thee, in Jesus' name, amen. Amos was called a herdsman and also a gatherer of sycamore fruit. The word gatherer there is a word that means bruiser. If you listen carefully, I'll give you something that tell you what it means. When it says that Amos was a gatherer of sycamore fruit, then he was a bruiser of sycamore fruit. Now, it was believed by people in those days, and I think it was true, that the sycamore fruit never ripened until it was bruised. What they would do, they would take a comb made out of steel or something, their comb, and they'd take a piece of sycamore fruit. And they would take that comb, that steel comb, and they would bruise that sycamore fruit, much like I'm doing right here, right now. They'd bruise that sycamore fruit. And when the sycamore fruit was bruised, immediately it became ripe and became sweet. Now, it didn't stay sweet very long. You had to eat sycamore fruit in a hurry, or it became bitter again. What you did, you'd take the fruit, and somebody, it was his job, to bruise the fruit. He'd take the fruit and just take a piece of fruit, and he'd bruise it with that steel comb and pass it on, and then take another piece and bruise it with the steel comb and pass it on, take another piece and bruise it with the steel comb and pass it on. And then the people bought the fruit immediately and ate it, because now it was ripe and it was sweet. Once the fruit was, by the way, unbruised, it was no good. And it was eaten, of course, at once. Now, the truth is, anybody in this room who's lived very long in life, you find that the bruises of life have to come. I was watching this section right here this morning, and I was just, the people I know in this section right here, I was going through their lives, numbers of them, and remembering some things about their lives and how the folks that I know in this section right here have been bruised. For example, my mother has been bruised in many ways, but now she's almost not able to see too well and so forth. And Margaret Sue's had some bruises, and Stan's wife has had some bruises since she got married, and she's bruised Stan. You can't see him on him like you can on me, but she's bruised him some. And I was noticing others in this section right here. One little lady who's ill and absolutely just can't find out what's wrong with her. And the truth is, we all in life, and if you haven't gotten a place in life to where the bruises have come, you will get there, because into each life some rain must fall. And once you've lived 55 years, like my mother's boy has, you know that life has some bruises. It may be for you younger folks, it may be all noontime now. It'll be midnight later. It may be all sunshine now. It'll be some storms. There'll be some storms and clouds later. It may be all happiness now. There'll be some tears that'll fall later. It may be that there'll be no bruises in your life, but bruises do come, and bruises will come. And for every bruise that you get, you'll walk a little closer to God if you choose to, and your fruit will be sweeter for every bruise that you get. I'm talking to someone this morning who's been bruised by the death of a loved one. The dearest of life has been taken. Maybe there's an empty place in a little crib and a bronze shoe on the mantle. Maybe there's a place empty beside you at the breakfast table where one you love used to sit, but you've been bruised. Maybe a child has disappointed you. Now, that's the case in our family. My sister often disappoints my mother. I never do. But maybe a child has disappointed you. Maybe some child for you whom you had hopes and dreams. Now those hopes have been shattered and those dreams have been done away with. And all the things you had planned all of a sudden have seemed to splatter on the sidewalk of life. And your life is bruised today. Maybe a friend has betrayed you. Someone in whom you trusted and someone you loved dearly, as dear as your own life. And your familiar friend, as said David and Jesus, my familiar friend hath betrayed me. Or maybe a financial reversal has come. Maybe bankruptcy. Or maybe you've lost your job. You don't know how to make ends meet, and you've been bruised. Maybe it's an unwarranted divorce that you did not want to have, and yet it came, and your heart is broken. Maybe your daddy is gone today from home, or maybe you don't know who your daddy is. I was thinking this morning, watching some of the folks. I saw Mrs. Scales walk out this morning and walk back in. You may wonder why she walks out of the service, walks back in. That's because she gets mad at my preaching, and she walks out. No, Mrs. Scales, if you or I were as sick as she is, we probably wouldn't be at church this morning. But she keeps on coming. She can just sit so long, and because of her illness, she has to get up and walk out and stand up a while, and then comes back in and stays as long as she can and walks out and a little while and so forth. And, by the way, that's made her fruit much more sweet. I look back, and I'm blessed so often when I see her sitting back there. As I see her walking out, what a blessing it is. When I see the bass and the choir walk out, what a blessing that is. And I'm going to bruise them myself one of these days. But look back at Mr. Job back here this morning. He had cancer, and the doctor operated and thought they got it all, but he doesn't know. And every 6 months he goes back for a checkup. He always comes by the office before he goes and says, "Preacher, please pray. I'm nervous about it. I've got to be checked up today." And after it's all over, he comes back or writes me a note and says everything's okay for another 6 months. And he's one of the most thoughtful men in this church toward his pastor. I have so many remembrances of his love, and so forth. So I'm saying that the fruit. Now I want you to notice several things about this bruised fruit. In the first place, the bruiser decided when the fruit was ready. Now, when I say the bruiser, I'm not talking about me. I know I'm a big bruiser, but I'm saying that the bruiser decided when the fruit was ready. Now, here's the bruiser, and he has his comb here, this big comb of steel, and he takes this comb, he takes a piece of fruit, and he chooses the fruit when he thinks it's about right to be bruised. And then, not only that, it was always bruised on purpose. Did you know that God knows when you ought to be bruised? God knows when you're ready to bruise. God knows when you need to suffer loss. God knows when you need to cry a little bit. And God decides when it's time for you to do so. And by the way, he always does it for your own good. It wasn't for the bruiser's sake they bruised the fruit. It was for the fruit's sake they bruised the fruit. And it is for your sake. You say to the house, things aren't going very good for me these days. Things are always going good to a child of God who's in the will of God. Nothing ever goes bad. Oh, but you say to the house, everything's falling apart. Nope, everything's not falling apart. It's just the bruiser. He knows you need bruising. He knows that you'll be sweeter and more useful and more usable and a bigger blessing if he bruises you. But he knows when it's time. And that means it is never an accident when God decides to bruise one of his people. Never is. Oh, you ought to get Romans 8:28 and read it in the morning and read it at noontime and read it at night. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. Not most things, all things. That means if I love God, if I'm in the will of God, that means if I get in a car wreck this afternoon, it's for the good. That means if I love God and I'm in the will of God, that means if I get sick this afternoon, it's for the good. It means if I love God and I'm in the will of God, if I get bruised today, that's for the good. God makes no mistakes. I'm in the hand of the Heavenly Father. And why should I worry? His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Oh, my. I love this song. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I could go across this platform, and I could just take one at a time and tell you about the bruises that these fellows have on the platform this morning. Some because they have not worked as hard as they should. And I have bruised them myself. But the honest truth is, I have some bruises in my life, and you have some bruises in your life, but there's one wonderful good thing, and that is he who noteth every sparrow that falls, and he who determines when the sparrow falls, and he that clothes the lily of the field, and he who feeds even the unclean raven in the sky. He it is who's in charge of your life and mine, and he decides when we are to be bruised. I'm in his hands. Now then, that means I'm supposed to accept it. That means it's easy to praise God when the sun is shining. It's hard to praise God when it's cloudy. It's easy to praise God at noontime. It's not so easy to praise God at midnight. Remember the little statement we say, praise God anyhow? You know where that came from? Huh? It came from Lester Roloff. Somebody said, how's Lester Roloff doing now? I said, he's in trouble. Said, have you seen him lately? No, I haven't. How do you know he's in trouble? I know Brother Roloff. That's why I know he's in trouble. And at the darkest hour of his life, he wrote on a piece of paper and hung it on his wall, praise God anyhow. And so we're supposed to praise God when the bruises come, as well as when the bruises don't come. And by the way, did you know that immediately when the bruiser would take the comb, and he would take the fruit, and he'd bruise the fruit. Did you know immediately it became sweet? I've known many a preacher that was harsh, only harsh. He had no tenderness. He had no tears. He had no broken heart. He had no compassion. And, he'd preach hell like he was glad folks were going there. And he'd preach judgment like he hoped you didn't get prepared, so you'd have to stand before God. And he'd hate sinners along with the sin. But then the heavenly bruiser comes and picks up his preacher and takes a baby from the crib. Or maybe breaks his heart in some way. I remember how I used to preach funeral services. And I tried to comfort, but I couldn't. And then one day I was in the service sitting, and the preacher was preaching to me, and the body of my father was in the casket. No, ever since then, I don't have any trouble crying at funerals. I don't have any trouble having compassion at funerals. Why? Because one day the Lord took a preacher, and all too brash, I think. And maybe, if you'll forgive me for saying it, maybe all too cocky, I think. And maybe a little bit too overconfident, as some young preachers often are. And maybe sometimes a little hard on people who are in sin. Not enough compassion, not enough mercy, not enough tenderness, not enough love. And God said, come here, my child. And God took me in his hand. And he said, I don't want to do this, but I've got to bruise you. And the Lord took his comb, and he began to bruise me. And my unsaved daddy died, was buried in a drunkard's grave. I shed more tears in the first week after that than I shed in the whole ministry before then. I love that little line. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know what that means? Here's a little lamb. The lamb would run away. They had sort of a wild little lamb, you know. And he'd run away. And the shepherd, go out and get him. He'd say, come back here. He'd put him in the fold. He'd run away again. And he'd go get him. He'd pull him back. Come here. He'd put him back in the fold. Little old wild lamb running away. And then the shepherd, if he realized he couldn't help him any other way, would take the little leg of that lamb and put that little leg across his knee and crack that leg like that. And then he'd put the leg in a splint and put the lamb down on the ground. And the lamb didn't run away anymore. And that's what the Lord has to do. I'm talking to somebody who's, well, Brother Hyde, what's wrong? Things aren't turning out right. The Lord is bruising you. And let me tell you, you'll be the better person for it. You'll be glad forever. As I look back in my life, I thank God he took me in his hand. And he said, now, my son, I don't want to do this.
And I don't wish I didn't have to do it. But, son, I want to use you, and I'm going to have you pastor a church someday. And you're going to have a lot of little orphan kids in that church, and a lot of sinners in that church, and a lot of people that need help in that church, and a lot of little bus kids in that church. And I've got to have somebody who has a tear in his eye. I've got to have somebody who has compassion. And he said, my son, I don't like to do this, but the Lord took me and he bruised me. And I sometimes say, Lord, stop, help, 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 stop. The Lord says, I've got something to do for you and something I want you to do for me. And the Lord comes and bruises. This last week I was down in Mexico. Every time I go to a foreign country, I want to come back home and shout the praises of God. Oh, listen, listen, listen. I don't like to go anywhere else. I don't like to. I don't like to see what the world is like. Tuesday night, I preached. I drove out the street. Looked much like the main street in your hometown, the main artery in your hometown, and then turned off that main artery and little bumpy, unbelievably bumpy roads. And you wouldn't believe the poverty I saw. And yet those people there, they were singing, what a friend we have in Jesus. In their own language, of course. And they didn't sing it as well as you just heard it sung. But they sang it. And I stood there and sang it in English. I looked at teenagers that had ragged clothes on and had no indoor toilets and had no moms and dads that cared a thing about them. And I saw the smiles on those faces, those kids. And I wanted to come back home and get every teenager we got in our church that thinks he got it rough and take him down there and say, look at these kids! Why? Because they've been bruised, that's why. And they'd smile and sing and sing and smile. I don't like to see you suffer. I cry when you cry, and I hurt when you hurt. I've thought so much this week about Mrs. Juanita Clark, whose mother passed away yesterday. I've thought so much about her in the last 24 hours or so. What a fine lady Mrs. Clark is, and her dear mother, such a sweet saint of God. And they live together. Can you imagine how much Juanita Clark's going to miss her dear mother? But I'll guarantee you one thing. You will find a sweeter Juanita Clark than before. We hope that, don't we? And but you find us. Why? Because when the Lord bruises, it makes our lives sweeter. I've seen Brother Ray. I know some singers. And I've seen men with great voices. I heard a man preach to sing the other day. And what a voice. I leaned over to the pastor and I said, as soon as God breaks his heart, he's going to be the greatest singer in America. As soon as God breaks his heart. What a voice. What control of his voice. What tremendous interpretation of the song. And I said to the pastor, I said, when that man gets a broken heart, nobody's going to touch him. You can't do much without a broken heart. The fruit is bitter. And so the bruiser would take the fruit and hit the fruit and bruise the fruit. And then as soon as the fruit was bruised, it became sweet to the taste. I've known young people in the church here. I was praying for some of our young people this week. And I was praying especially for a little girl whose dad left home. She's now a teenager. Her dad left home. And her mother and her have lived alone. And I've tried to be a father to her. I wish you could see all the Father's Day cards I get from little children who have no daddies. I wish you could know how many moms bring their daughters and sons by my office and say, Brother House, would you just take a few minutes every month or two just to say hi to them? Because they don't have a male image. And I talk to them a little while, and I'm sort of their adopted daddy, and they're my adopted children. But you know, some of the sweetest children we have in this church are those children. Sometimes the kids that have had, hell, hell, the gang's all here, everything's okay, and on my own room, my own car, all the clothes I want, and I'm not against that necessarily. But get ready for it, teenager. Get ready for it. One day the Lord's going to look down to you and say, I don't think I can use him till he's bruised. And God's going to break your heart. I wish I could tell the whole story. I won't. There are two young ladies in this house. I think they'll know who I think they'll know I'm talking about them, but you won't know. They grew up in this church. I never worked so hard in my life to get two young ladies to live right as I did those girls, their sisters. I've counseled with those girls more than I've counseled with any two kids, I guess, in this church for years. They needed help, and I tried to help them. And one of them, maybe both of them, I met with them once a week for a while. But it seemed like, Dr. Evans, the more I tried, the more they went into sin. And finally they broke my heart, and both of them married, I think, unconverted men. And they dropped out of church. And for years and years, they were out of church. Now they're mothers, and they're up, oh, I'm guessing, 30-ish now. The other day I looked out and saw one of them in church. And I was so pleased. And then I got a note from the other one. And she said, Brother House, I have my own children now, and I'm going to bring them to Sunday school and try to raise them right. And I had an appointment the other day with one of them, the night one of them, and an appointment coming up this week with the other one. And they're coming to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and their children are in our Sunday schools. And their life is not what it could have been if they could have stayed in the will of God and gone to a Christian college. But thanks be unto God, they're back in service now. They're in church here now. And I've been rejoicing and praising God about it. Dear Lord, take up the tangled strands that we have wrought in vain, that by the skill of thy dear hands some beauty may remain. I'm saying, if God comes along and bruises you, and you're on your back in a hospital, or you lose your job, or your baby is seriously ill, or your baby is taken in death, or a child breaks your heart and God is bruising you, all in the world God is trying to do is make you sweet so you can be a blessing to other people. And the sweetness of God can come. Some of the sweetest people I know in this church, I've enjoyed their fruit. I often look over here and see the Stanleys sitting over here. And I think what sweet fruit they have. Their little girl for months and months and months lay a dying girl. I never saw a child die so much by degrees as their child did. And I remember that time she woke up from her coma, and she asked for Brother Hiles, and they said, Brother Hiles isn't he in town, and they brought my picture to her when I was on the front of a Nationwide magazine one time. I think it was signed up above me, said wanted. I'm not sure what it said, but they brought my picture to her while she was conscious, and she put her hand and laid it on my picture and lapsed back into a coma. And I went to see her on the way to the airport one day. And she was unconscious in a coma, and her hand was over my picture. I wonder how much we've enjoyed the fruit of the Stanley family as God has bruised them and made them sweeter. The fruit of good John Penley, who brings so much joy in my life. He's sort of nutty, but John Penley, how much joy he brings in my life. I ate from his fruit when he walked down, he and Madeline, and looked at that little four-year-old Danny Penley and said goodbye to him. And I don't think I heard Mrs. Idson sing as well before she was bruised as she has sung after she's bruised. And after the rain fall and the clouds come, and after the heart begins to ache and it begins to hurt, and you walk the floor at night time, and then all of a sudden God says, I think you're sweet enough now to be used. These college folks, a lot of these college people, oh, they got it fine. Had a $10 a week allowance when they were 10 years old and added a dollar until they got out of high school. Now the mom and dad send the check for the tuition every month, and I'm glad. I don't blame you for it. Good night. Take it. I don't blame you for it. But there are others that are bruised. They have to wait on tables. And Dr. Evans, you know what we do every month. This list comes to us that eats your heart out and eats my heart out of these poor college young ladies and men. Young ladies, we don't allow them to work outside the school. But they want to go stay here, and they can't pay the tuition. And it comes to where the deadline is, and there's no way in the world they can pay their tuition. And then they get on their faces and cry and plead and pray. And then in comes a check in the mail, and they write me and say, Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! You can't say it that loud on paper, but I think that's the way they'd say it if they said it. And Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! And God had taken care again. I tell you what, fellas, those little bruised gals sure make some good wives. If God bruises them before you marry, you won't have to bruise them quite so much after you marry. Yeah. There's something else, and that is, as soon as it was bruised, and it was sweet, and then it was ready to be eaten. That's the only way that you can be usable. Only way. Nobody can be used too much for God till he's been bruised. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. Nobody ever saw Jesus in the Bible, Dr. Evans, when everything was going well. When did Stephen see Jesus? On his 25th birthday party? Everybody sing, happy birthday to you, blow out the candles, and he saw Jesus? Huh? On his wedding day? No, he may have seen stars, but not Jesus. On his wedding day? Huh? And throwing rice at him, have a good honeymoon. He said, I see Jesus. No. Oh, they took the stones. Are you listening? They took the stones and hurled those stones toward his body. And Stephen was dying and looked up and he said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. You say, why do you see Jesus standing? The Bible said Jesus is sat down at the right hand of God. He is standing up to welcome Stephen to the home in heaven. And so that's where he saw him. When did Paul see Jesus? He saw him then outside the city of Lystra when he was left for dead. When did Joshua see Jesus? When he's about to face the battle of Canaan? When did Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego see Jesus? When they're in the fire furnace? You always see him when the bruises come. That's when you see him. And that's when God makes you usable. When God bruises, he uses. God can't use unbruised people to do much for him. Now, I don't think you ought to go out and get in the car wreck today on purpose so you can get bruised. You just present yourself. He'll bruise you when it's ready. You just say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Dr. Rice and I were sitting in a restaurant one day. Dr. Rice always did like this, his fingernail. Like that. And when he was thinking, which is most all the time, and he'd do like that with his fingernails. And he said, that's when he wanted to say something that he was thinking. He said, ha! Then he said, Dr. Hiles, God's sure going to use Dr. Tom Malone. We weren't even talking about Tom Malone. I wasn't even thinking about Tom Malone. Dr. Rice, his mind was on a hill far away, and he said, ha! God's sure going to use Tom Malone. And I said, why, Dr. Rice? He said, haven't you heard he's going through the fire? He said, God's got something mighty big for him one of these days. And so when you as a child of God in the will of God are chosen to be bruised, that's the time to shout. That's the time to say, bless God, he's going to use me one of these days. And then may I say this, it must be eaten at once. Must be eaten at once. In other words, you're supposed to, as soon as you get bruised, eat it. And as soon as you get bruised, that's the time to serve God. Look, when you get bruised, don't take a leave of absence and then come back and serve God when you feel better. I wonder how many ladies, with the memory of their husband's death just fresh in their minds, and with their oldest daughter at the point of death, the word Mrs. Rice used was dying, I wonder how many of them would come to a lady as spectacular as Rice did, Friday. I wonder how many. You know why? Because the dear old saint is being used while she's bruised. But you say, preacher, I'd like to have leaves of absence, my Sunday school class, till these clouds blow over. Good night. That's when you ought to talk about how good God is. Who in the world can do a better job of talking about the grace of God than one right now who's living, needing the grace of God? Who can better tell about God's sufficiency in trouble than one who's in trouble and receiving God's sufficiency? Now's the time to serve him while you're being bruised. I was thinking, Doc, you know, I got looking at some of David's Psalms. Did you know that when everything David wrote, he was going through something? He needed that and wrote it. David didn't one time sit down a beautiful day and say, he satisfies my mouth with good things. David, when David was hungry, he spoke about God's provisions.
When David was weak, he spoke about God's strength. When David was sad, he spoke about the joy of the Lord. When David was lonely, he spoke about God's presence. When David was in danger, he spoke about God's protection. And that's the time. Listen, here's that piece of fruit, and the bruiser bruises that piece of fruit, and eat it now.
Now's the time. If you don't eat it now, it won't be sweet, and that's the time to serve the Lord. And then quickly, if it was not eaten, it got bitter again real quickly. You know why people get bitter and leave churches? You know why? Because they didn't serve while they were bruised. They quit serving. Nobody this morning is going to lead a soul down this aisle and kneel at the altar and get him saved and then get up and say, I'm not happy here. Nobody's going to do that. Nobody this morning is going to weep for the invitation time and say, oh, God, some of those sailors need Jesus back there. I pray you save some of those sailors. And some of these poor bus kids need Jesus. Save some of them. And some of these folks who are visiting won't come again. Oh, God, save some of them. And then they walk down the aisle and they kneel at the altar and lead them to Christ. They won't get up and be bitter. No, sir. Listen, the truth is God never uses bitter fruit. There have been times in my life when it was easy to get bitter. When I walked in the O'Neill Funeral Home in Dallas, Texas, and looked in the face of my daddy, I said, God, that's not fair. That's not fair. I'm a preacher. And you know I've been trying to get folks saved. And you know I'm sincere. And you know what I've been doing at college. And you know the tough time I've been having making ends meet, working for 40 cents an hour, then got a raise to 60 cents an hour. And trying to go to college and wearing suits, clothes that came to college, hand-me-down clothing store. And you know, dear God, I'm trying to serve you, and I'm pastor of a church, and that's not fair. God never does anything unfair. His way is always the best way. And this morning, as I look around and see the faces of my people, I see many people who have bruises, a lot of people. A lot of people who really hate to wake up in the morning. Had a man tell me this week, he said, Brother Hiles, he said, been times in the last few weeks, he said, if I'd have had the courage, I'd have committed suicide. One of our men sat in the office of the night, and he was shaking like that. And he said, I said, what do you want to do next? And he said, I want to kill myself. I work on construction, and sometimes I'm high off the ground. I look down sometimes and wish I could just jump off. That's not it. Bitterness is not the answer. Bruises don't come to make the fruit bitter. Bruises come to make the fruit sweet. I'm 55 years old. I've been around a while. I don't know where the years went. Yesterday, I was just a kid preacher. Yesterday, I was asking Dr. Bob Jones, Sr. to sign my Bible. Yesterday, I was sitting with my eyes open, my mouth hanging open, listening to Dr. Beauchamp Vick preach the gospel. I don't know what happened. That was yesterday. Yesterday, I wanted to see what Dr. John Rice looked like. And all of a sudden, I'm 10 years away. I'm 7 years away from Social Security if I want it. I'm 10 years away from being 65. If I get to serve God 22 more years here in this church, I'll be 77. But I want to make an announcement today. When Paul said, or God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. That's true. It's true. And when the apostle, who knew what he was talking about, who did not have the comforts of a home, nor the happiness of having children, nor a family circle to gather around, when the Apostle Paul said, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Paul knew what he was talking about. So this morning, are you being bruised? Get ready to be used. God wants to use you. And so you look up and say, dear God, this morning, if the bruiser can use the bruised, There I am. I'll serve you. And if my fruit is sweeter than usual, I'll be happy to make it so. If bruising is necessary, I'll accept it. There are folks all over this room this morning whom the Lord has chosen. The Lord has chosen. Reached down and picked you out of the whole fruit basket. And held you up and said, I believe. I believe that little piece of fruit is about ready to be a blessing. I believe if I could bruise it, it'll be sweeter. And the Lord lifted you up and he took his big old comb and began to hit you. And you said, things aren't going very good for me right now. Hey, look, just because you're being bruised, don't jump out of the basket. I know folks get bruised a little bit and take off for California because there's a lot of work out there. That's the silliest thing I ever heard of. You'll be better off if you're bruised. You're going to take off for anywhere. Good night. Just take off with the bruiser's hand. It may be God's bruising you. And you'll be sweeter for it. And more usable for it. I'm not criticizing anybody's mood. I'm not talking about anybody going anywhere. For every one person moves away from here out of town, we got a dozen that move to here because this place is here. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking to you personally. Don't you jump out of the master's hands. Let him bruise you. Let him bruise you. For when God bruises, God uses.